This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. One of the heartbreaking things to see video of this morning is of the relatives of the passengers of Malaysian Airlines 370, the flight that disappeared, just went who knows where yesterday before landing in Beijing. And all those relatives of those passengers are sitting around at a hotel in Beijing right now, awaiting any kind of information. The latest we have on this is that the Malaysian Air Force chief says that military radar indicates the plane may have turned back at some point. We also know that there have been military sightings of two long oil slicks off the coast of Vietnam. And we also know that there were two people who were supposed to be on board that plane who were not, who had their passports stolen a couple of years ago, and maybe somebody used those to get on board. What does all this mean? Let's bring in an aviation expert, Mary Schiavo, who is a former Inspector General of the U.S. Department of Transportation and now an aviation attorney. Mary, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
What do you think of, let's start with some of these reports, the report that maybe the plane turned back?
Well, that may be the most useful piece of information we have to go on so far, because it not only that it turned back, that it made a sharp right turn and dropped sharply 200 feet before disappearing from the radar, in addition to the turn back news. That suggests something, tells us what happened to the plane. A sharp right turn could mean a stall. It could mean a catastrophic event on the plane. And the rapid drop in altitude does suggest that the plane was certainly experiencing some sort of loss of control. So that's important clues. Those are different. Those are new. There's also a report out this morning from another pilot in the area that said that he had been asked to try to contact the plane. And he thought he heard some sort of a garbled or muffled response indicating perhaps some kind of problem with the radios. So although this plane has not just one, not just two, but multiple backup communication systems.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about here, because as far as we know today, there was no mayday call, no distress call from the plane. If something did go wrong, what are the chances that, barring an explosion that blew the thing apart, that there would be no opportunity for the pilots to get on the radio and ask for some sort of help or warn someone?
Well, there have been cases where that has occurred. I worked a couple cases. For example, the Air France flight from Brazil to Paris, the plane itself, as does the 777, that was an Airbus, but the plane itself is constantly communicating with its airline's base, because the plane sends out electronic messages. And in that case, the plane itself had indicated to Air France that they were experiencing weather problems, wind shear, icing. They were experiencing a lot of things, and the pilots weren't responding to it. They weren't, you know, on top of their game, and they didn't put out a mayday call. And there was another one, West Caribbean Airways, crashed in the jungle in Venezuela. Same thing, they encountered icing. They didn't respond quickly and adequately and lost the flight, and they weren't aware of what trouble they were in. And then, of course, there's others like TW-800 where the massive explosion made any kind of a mayday call impossible. The nose cone was blown off.
If there were an explosion, because once we heard about the two stolen passports, people immediately started speculating about terrorism. If there were an explosion, wouldn't there be a debris field that could have been seen yesterday during the day from the air?
Yes, that is what comes to mind. If there was an explosion, an in-air explosion, yes, it should be a very large debris field, and it certainly should be appearing. And everyone remembers the really horrific pictures from TW-800, and there's many things on the plane, not the least of which are the life vests, because it was an overwater flight, the seat cushions, life rafts. There are many things that would be floating if that had occurred. So it's you know, explosion is seeming less and less likely the longer it goes on.
If the plane did go down in the water and is now under the water, does the flight data recorder or anything else on board that plane send out a signal to help rescuers find it?
Yes, both. The answer is both. The flight the plane itself has emergency locators that help you find it, but the black boxes themselves, say they're separated from the plane or the plane breaks apart, the black boxes have battery operated. We call them pingers, and they send out a signal that's a ping. That's why they call them pingers. And you can that signal will last not only for weeks. There have been documented cases where it has lasted for over a month. So they have time to find it. What's going to be important, and the U.S. Navy has already been dispatched, but they have submersibles that help search for those signals so they can find it. And that's how they found, it wasn't the U.S. Navy, but it was another Navy with submersibles that finally found the Air France black boxes.
The Air France flight that Mary's referring to was flight 447 on June 1st, 2009, en route from Rio de Janeiro to Paris, an Airbus A330 that went down, and it took nearly 2 years to locate a lot of that wreckage and the majority of the 228 bodies in a mountain range deep under the ocean. So this is not something that is likely to be found immediately, but hopefully that pinging signal that lasts a month or so will at least be a guide. Have things gotten better since 5 years ago and that incident?
Well, in terms of finding these, a lot just depends on where it is. There's no real new technology for finding the boxes other than the submersibles and the sonar and radar. Mm-hmm. But it was pretty good. The problem with the Air France is that it was so deep. And here they're saying where they think it is, it will not be as deep as the Air France flight. But there they had clues because they had already seen some wreckage. Some wreckage had started coming to the surface and was now visible, and so they had an idea of where to look. Here, the lack of wreckage is just very strange indeed.
This plane, the one that was Malaysian Airlines Flight 370, was involved in an incident on the ground in Shanghai in August of 2012, where it lost the tip of a wing. That was repaired, but could that influence what happens when it flies later on, like yesterday?
Well, it could, and people are very interested in that because, again, we look at parallels from other crashes, and people might remember American Airlines 587, which was an Airbus with a composite tail, went out of New York City in November 2001. And in that case, the tail fell off. It was initially thought it was terrorism because it was so close on the heels of September 11, 2001. But in that case, that tail had been damaged before. It had been repaired, but it was a composite, and so There's not enough data on repairs of a composite and long-term effect to know what happens over a long period of time on a composite that has been patched or repaired. So people will be very, very interested in this to find out if by repairing that wing, which is a composite, was it strong enough? Was it flexible enough? Was it good repair? Could that have somehow affected the wiring, the wing? There's just so many unknowns, and even if that's not the cause of this accident, and there's no way to know at this point, it will provide interesting and helpful data to use in the future, maybe to avoid a future disaster.
And what's your take on the missing passports?
Well, that could or could not be important. People might recall in 2010 there was an Air India flight that crashed, and on that flight there were between 10 and 13 fake passports. And immediately people were concerned for two reasons. People were getting notified that, you know, their loved ones were deceased on this plane and their loved ones were, you know, next door. And they said, no, our passports were stolen. And what happened in that crash is it found out that there was a ring, and that particular ring was in India, and they dealt in stolen passports. And so if someone wanted to travel and not be found, and there are lots of reasons why people want to travel, not necessarily terrorism and not be found, you know, fleeing the law, fleeing a spouse, you know, taking a detour from your job. But those 10 to 13 people with fake passports, it wasn't terrorism in that case, and they weren't terrorists. They were criminals for using fake passports, but they weren't terrorists. So that might be a misnomer. It's different in different parts of the world, but even in the United States, we do have problems with fake documentation. So that may or may not be significant.
Yeah, one of the stories I read this morning was that one of the guys who was supposed to be on that flight, an Italian guy named Luigi Moraldi, he called his father and said, listen, you're going to hear reports that this flight went down. I just want you to know I was not on it. If you see a manifest with my name on it, I was not on it. I'm okay. And the father hadn't known anything about that until his son called. He was very relieved to get that phone call. Otherwise, media reports could have freaked him out a little bit later on. Well, we will continue to cover this story all day long, and I appreciate your expertise, Mary. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you.
That's Mary Schiavo, former Inspector General of the U.S. Department of Transportation, now an aviation attorney, and great guest, I got to tell you. We were so happy to have her on today, and we'll keep our eye on what happens here. And I do wish that the media would stop crushing in on the relatives of the passengers who are just desperate to find out. Sometimes, even if you're accepting the worst, you just want the closure, and you don't want cameras in your face all the time. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.